Yesterday we started the sugya of being Meshalish Nosaf. The Gemara Meseches Kiddushin that we're learning, that Laman and Al tells us, Lo'oli Meshalish Adam Shnosaf, a person should divide his year or years into three parts, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. We saw that the Gemara had said that's crazy. You can divide up your years into three parts. You don't know how long you're going to live. So the Gemara said, no, it means your days. So we had this fundamental machlokas Rashi and Tosos, where Rashi understood the days means the days of the week, 2 days for this, 2 days for that, 2 days for that. That's certainly the way Tosos understood Rashi. And Tosos understood, no, not the days of the week. It means on any given day, we should do something at the beginning of the day that includes Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. Right at the beginning, right off the bat, something that includes Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. What's the Svara for Rashi and the Svara for Tosos? So we suggested yesterday that Rashi is interested in giving you a curriculum through which you can learn Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. And therefore he says, dedicate a serious amount of time to each and every one of them, a couple of days for each of them. Tosos says, you can't divide them. The point is not to split them up. If you split them up into separate time frames, a person could still die at any given time, and then he's not going to fulfill the Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, and therefore it also suggests that you do it all at one shot. Right? That was the by the Korbanos prior to the Pesukim de Zimra, or through Talmud Bavli. That was Rabbeinu Tam's suggestion, doing it through Talmud Bavli, which is Balul, B'Mikra, Mishnah, B'Talmud, has all three elements within Talmud Bavli. And we suggested what Tosos must be assuming is that we're not trying to provide a curriculum, because if we were trying to provide a curriculum to learn and know Kalata Rukula, this would be the worst curriculum ever invented, because you're learning the same exact things every single day in the passages that we say prior to Pesukei de Zimra. And even to read Talmud Bavli, it would be a pretty terrible curriculum, because it would be a great Talmudic curriculum to learn Talmud Bavli, and a decent Mishnah curriculum, not a great one, because you would never learn many of the Mishnayos in Taharos and many of the Mishnayos in Zraim. So a decent, at best, Mishnah curriculum, and a horrendous Tanakh curriculum. Because yes, you see Pesukim quoted here, there, everywhere, but you don't have the understanding of what actually is going on in Tanakh just by seeing the Pesukim that are quoted in Talmud Bavli. So that led us to conclude that Tosos is not worried about setting up a curriculum. Tosos thinks that this halacha is a din in recognizing each and every day at the beginning of your Talmud Torah experience that there is a depth to Talmud Torah, that there are three layers of Talmud Torah, and that all three layers are critical if a person is going to accomplish something in Torah. And then you go ahead and you do whatever you're going to learn. And if you're going to learn only Mikra that day, because it's a Mikra day, fine, that's fine. You're going to learn only Mishnah, that's also fine. But the point is just to create this sense each and every day that the three are interconnected. That's what we suggested according to Tosos. We pointed out the Shach, who suggests that the reason no one teaches our kids Tanakh anymore is based on this Rabbeinu Tam. And we point out that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that's quite a stretch of the Rabbeinu Tam. It's one thing for Rabbeinu Tam to say to fulfill the mitzvah of recognizing at the beginning of each and every day the three levels, the three elements of Talmud Torah. That's one thing. But to say that it is a fitting curriculum for children to teach them Tanakh through only learning Talmud? Very, very difficult to say that. So that's why Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky didn't like that shita of the Shach, of not teaching Tanakh and just relying on Talmud Bavli. And then we saw a third shita, and that is the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam started off by saying, 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours, right? Remember, he spoke about the guy who, Nebuch, only has 9 hours to learn each day because he has to work. He has a boss that drives him crazy, makes him work 3 hours every single day. So because this guy only has 9 hours to work every day, I remember Rabbi Willig told us when we were in YU, he said, I'm going to be Makel so much more than the Rambam. I'm going to be Makel that you could work for 9 hours and learn for 3 hours. And that's okay too. So a person, let's say, the Rambam says has only 9 hours to learn, so you should split it 3, 3, and 3. So it sounded very much like Rashi, that he's trying to set up a curriculum, but he was worried about Tosfos Kasha that a guy might die on a Wednesday. So he says, okay, so do 3, 3, and 3, and that way you don't have to worry if the guy dies in the middle of the week. And that way you have a curriculum where you're going to learn through the Torah. It'll be wonderful. But then the Rambam says, and then all of this changes once you accomplish enough that you really finish Tanakh and you know Mishnayos already. Then you're not Mishalish anymore. Then what do? There's no daily requirement of anything. There's no daily requirement to make sure you get a little bit of each on every day. You don't have any of that. What do? Once you have an understanding and a thorough knowledge of Tanakh and of Mishnayos, your next step is focus on Talmud. Entirely, almost entirely. Every once in a while, chazer over. Not every day, every once in a while. Chazer over some Mishnayos, chazer over the Tanakh, and that way you'll just keep it fresh in your mind. You're not going to forget it. So if we're keeping score, we have Rashi assuming that it's a curriculum in Yediyas HaTorah. We have Tosfos assuming that it's an idea of appreciating the three levels and three types of Torah. And we have the Rambam also working on a curriculum in Yediyas HaTorah, but addressing the obvious problem that it doesn't make sense to be Mishalesh and still come out with the Yediyas HaTorah. It doesn't make sense to divide it into three even parts, because Tanakh takes much less time to master than Mishnah, which in turn takes much less time to master than Talmud. So it doesn't make sense to divide it into three even parts. So the Rambam says, but the word Mishalish means that you're supposed to divide in three even parts. So what do you do about that? So the Rambam addresses that by saying, you start off by dividing into three even parts. And then as you move on in life, you'll get past that. Now someone suggested yesterday at the end of Shir that maybe this relates to the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Ben Chamesh LeMikra, Ben Eser LeMishnah, Ben Chamesh Asher LeTalmud, where you see it's even 5 years for this, 5 years for that, and then obviously throughout the rest of your life it's going to be mostly Talmud based. But the Rambam can't be talking about a 5 or a 10 year old either, because the Rambam says that when you're learning 9 hours a day and working 3 hours a day, so you're talking about someone who's working already and is learning every day Shlush Mikra, Shlush Mishnah, Shlush B'Talmud. So either the Rambam is assuming we're dealing with a person who wasn't educated in this way of Chamesh LeMikra and Eser LeMishnah, or he was but he forgot and he needs to really cement it in his brain, and the way he's got to do that is 3 3 and 3 3 hours 3 hours 3 hours until it is solid, until it is strong in his head, and then he can move forward with learning Talmud most of the time, right? That's what we did yesterday. So I mentioned today we have to move on to see what other Rishonim have to say about this. And there are a couple of other critical opinions expressed by the Rishonim over here. There is a Ran in Mesech Savod Zara that doesn't really take a stand. I wouldn't say it's called taking a stand, but he just addresses the issue of Yeshalish. What is the word Yeshalish? So the Ran in Mesech Savod Zara, but a little bit like halfway through the skinny lines, Ki arminun liyomi, says the Ran, that you're supposed to divide it up by days, says the Ran, Shemechalek yimei ha-shavua, divide up the days of the week, Shlish b'mikra, Shlish b'mishnah, Shlish b'talmud. Rabbi Tanuch mefarish palgi miloshon chaluka dahainu plukta. He says Rabbi Tanuch explains that mechalek palgi chaluka does not necessarily mean to divide it evenly. V'lav davka sheyashlish yimosav b'shava doesn't necessarily mean that you divide it up in three even parts. Shareya Talmud Sarukh Zman Harbe, because Talmud takes a lot of time. V'yafa Mishnah Chamura Min HaMikra, and Mishnah is more difficult than Mikra. Elo Mashitin Zman L'Kalechel Kfir Roilo. It means you give as much time as you need for each one of them, but you should make sure that you cover all of them. So what does Ran understand? A din in a curriculum in Yediyas HaTorah, or a din in a hat tip to each of the areas of Torah? So the Ran seems to be worried about how you're going to know it, how you're going to learn it. And it's a curriculum in Yediyas HaTorah. And he says, obviously, it's ridiculous to dedicate equal amounts of time. It's not what the words mean. And maybe, that might even be Shittas Rashi. Because what did Rashi say? You know, Tosus had said that Rashi says, Sunday, Monday, do Mikra, Tuesday, Wednesday, do Mishnah, Thursday, Friday, do Talmud. It's not what Rashi said, though. What did Rashi say? Liyomi, Yemei HaShavua. Divide up the days of your week. instead of dividing up the years of your life in terms of learning, divide up the days of your week. So look at your week ahead and say, okay, you know what, Sunday will be a Tanakh day. Monday and the first half of Tuesday will be a Mishnah day and a half. The rest of Tuesday plus Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will be Talmud. And that's also fulfillment. Maybe that's what Rashi even means. It's not that you're doing it evenly. Because remember, our whole problem with Rashi is that if you're trying to set up a curriculum, it's a terrible curriculum to dedicate equal amounts of time to everything. So that's where Tosa's citation of Rashi being different than Rashi may play a role over here. I mean, the Rambam dealt with the curriculum problem by saying that this is all only temporary, but that's also a great chiddush. It doesn't say anywhere that it's all only temporary. So, according to the Ran, maybe Rashi's way of dealing with the issue that this is a terrible curriculum is by saying that it doesn't mean that you divide it evenly. It just means that you divide it up and not evenly. Now, the... there is a comment... I guess just to make note. Yeah. Tosos had suggested Sidur of Amram Gam, the idea of what we do in our Sidur, that before Pesukei Dezimra, we get a little Mikra by learning Karbanos, a little Mishnah with Ezum Mekoman, a little Talmud with Rabbi Shmuel Omer. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Simin Nun, in Hilchos Brachos, Shulchan Aruch writes, "Kavu lishnos achar parshas atamid perikei zumakom, ubraisid Rabbi Shmuel." They were koveya to read ezumakom and braisid Rabbi Shmuel after you say the parshas atamid. Why? Parshas atamid is mikra, ezumakom is mishnah, the braisid Rabbi Shmuel is Talmud. Kideisha yiske kol adam lilmod b'chol yom mikra mishnah u'gemara. And this way, everybody, every day, we'll learn Mikra Mishnah Gemara. The Braisa Rabbi Shmuel have b'makom Gemara, Sham Medrash Gemara, and the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel is in place of Gemara. Now, very important Ha'ara the Magen Avraham raises. It's important to keep in mind that when you have an obligation to say something, so you say it in your Yotze, you say whatever you're supposed to say in your Yotze. When you have an obligation to learn something, it may be different. Meaning, why is it, you know, people think whatever's in the Siddur is davening. Does everybody understand every word of davening? No. But you figure, I'm supposed to say those words, I'm still going to be Yotzei Tefillah. The Rambam, in one passage, suggests that as long as you know that you're Omid Lefnei HaMakom, that you're standing in front of Hashem and you're talking to Hashem, it's okay, you don't need to understand every single word. By Tefillah, you're Yotzei even without understanding every single word. So people are trained to think, as long as I'm reading Hebrew words out of my Siddur, it's a mitzvah of tefillah that I'm doing, and therefore it's not so critical that I understand every single word. But the Magen Avraham just points out that when you're reading the Parsha of the Korban Tamid, when you are reading Ezu Mekoma and Rabbi Shmuel Omer, you're not doing tefillah. That's not a mitzvah of tefillah. Why are you reading those things at the beginning of your day? Not to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah, but to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, to davar pashut l'chara, that if you have no idea what you're saying, that is not Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is where your brain is working and your brain understands what's being said. If you have no clue, then that's not Talmud Torah. That's simply not a fulfillment of Talmud Torah. In fact, Magen Avraham writes, nearly dafka bizmaneim shemuvin lashon targum aval achshav shemuvinim tzrichim lilmod lahavin. He says, you know, it used to be that was okay to just go through what it says in the Siddur because people understood what it said in the Siddur. But nowadays, if you don't understand it, you're wasting your time. It's not considered limud at all. Even tefillah is better to understand. But if tefillah you don't understand, it's good enough that Hashem understands. But when it comes to learning, it's not good enough that Hashem understands. Meaning by tefillah, we're trying to express ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands, shine, you're expressed. Even though you may not have understood what you were expressing exactly. But the Ribbono Shel Olam understands. In learning, we're trying to understand the Dvar Hashem. We're trying to let HaKadosh Baruch Hu express Himself to us. So we don't understand what we're taking in when we're learning. It's simply not Talmud Torah. It's not the mitzvah at all. So Magen Avraham says, of course, it's kedai to do what the Shulchan Aruch says, to read the Parshas HaTamid and Eizu Mekoman and Rabbi Shmuel Omer. But it's a really worthwhile investment of time to sit down one day and learn all those things, so that when you say them every day, you'll know what you're saying, and then you will have fulfilled what you set out to accomplish, which is to have a little bit of Mikra Mishnah and Talmud at the beginning of the day. And this is not relevant to the Chakira that we had, whether Mikra Mishnah and Talmud is a din in Yediyas HaTorah, or a din in just starting off your day with a conglomeration of all three. Either way, even if you say lactose is a conglomeration of just starting off your day with a conglomeration of all three, you still have to understand it. Otherwise, you didn't start off your limud day at all, because you're not learning anything. I found that interesting, because it's not so pashut. It's not so pashut that you need to understand what you're learning in order to be yotzei Talmud Torah in all areas of Torah. Some areas it is pretty pashut, but not in all areas is it so pashut that one gets zero credit for Talmud Torah if he doesn't understand what he said. You want to ask a question? Okay. So, let's put it this way. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in the Mavot to the Sefer Emes Yaakov, Ala Torah, points out that there is a big difference between Torah on the one hand versus Nevi'im and Ksuvim on the other hand. Torah meaning Chumash versus Nevi'im and Ksuvim. When it comes to Chumash, these words are the exact words of the Ribbono Shel Olam as dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word. That's what we believe. That's how we got our Chumash. The exact words of the Ribbono Shel Olam dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word. When it comes to Navi, Hashem doesn't dictate the words to the Navi. What does Hashem do for the Navi? He shows him a vision. The Navi sees a vision. He sees a dream. He sees something. He knows it's meaningful. He's inspired by Ruach HaKodesh. And he describes that vision in words. He puts words to that vision that he sees. So it turns out that when you're reading the words of Chumash, those are actually the words of Hashem. It's Hashem chose those words. When you're reading the words of Navi, those are not the words of Hashem. The ideas, the vision, the message is Hashem's message. But the words are the words of a Navi himself. You know, the Gemara in Brachos has a discussion whether Kol HaTorah Kula is Bloshna Kodesh Nemra or B'Kol Lashon. So Rashi says it's a question about Kriyas HaTorah. Can you be Kori the Torah in another language? So Tos says, but what do you mean? The Machlok is about Kriyas Torah. Kriyas Torah is only Takanas Ezra. So how could whether the Torah was given B'Loshna Kodesh or B'Shal Lashonos be a discussion about Kriyas HaTorah? It sounds like it should be a discussion that relates back all the way to the Zman of Kabbalah's HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is only Takanas Ezra. But maybe what Rashi means to say is that the Nafka Mina is whether you could be Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is Din D'Oraisa, Talmud Torah, when you read the Torah in translation. If you say the Torah was given in Shivim Lashon, so it's all part of Torah. And even if you don't understand the words, it's Hashem's words. So you should be able to be Mekayim in the midst of Talmud Torah just by reading the words. But if the Torah was only given in Hebrew, everything else is just a translation of those ideas, but those words are not the words of God. These are English words that are meant to try to convey the idea of God. Well, when you read those and you don't understand what you're reading, you're not Mekayim in the mitzvah, because they're not the words of God. And if you don't get the ideas of God, you got nothing. So that's what Yaakov suggests. Maybe that's the difference between Torah versus Nevi'im Ksuvim. Torah, you're bored one day, you're sitting around, you got nothing to do, you're 10 minutes early to Mincha or something. and you look at the shelf and it's full of Sfarim, like Kabbalah Sfarim. You have no idea how to read any of them. But there's a Chumash there. Not in translation, and you have a difficult time translating words of Chumash. Do you accomplish anything by opening up a Chumash and just reading the words? Just reading through the Chumash. Is there anything accomplished by doing that? So Rabbi Yaakov says yes. What if there's no Chumash there? You see a Sefer Yecheskel there. Do you accomplish anything just by opening up Yecheskel, not understanding anything, and reading the words of Yecheskel? No Talmud Torah. That's not Talmud Torah. It's practice Kriya or whatever, but it's no Talmud Torah. So says Rabbi Yaakov, now I understand very well why, when Chazal wanted to come up with a way to review the week's Parsha every single week, they didn't just say, do it with Mikra and Targum, read the Chumash and read a translation. They said, Shnayim Mikra ve'echad Targum. Ever wonder why that would be the case? Why Shnayim Mikra? Why not just one time Mikra? Why do I need two Mikras? So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I'll tell you why it's got to be Shnayim Mikra. Because there are two ways to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah when it comes to Chumash. There's the normal way of understanding it, which applies to everything else, also, to all areas of Torah, that if you understand it, you're being Mekayim Mitzvah Talmud Torah. But there is this additional element in Chumash, because it is the word of Hashem, that if you just read the words, just reading, without understanding anything, you're Mekayim a Mitzvah. So Chazal built into our Chazara of the weekly Parsha, they built in a way to demonstrate both levels of Talmud Torah. How do you demonstrate it? Read it once without translation. And then read it again with translation. What are you demonstrating? One time I'm reading without translation. As far as anyone can tell, I don't know a blessed word of what I'm saying. I don't understand anything. And that's okay. That's one level of Talmud Torah. And then Nachum will read it again with translation. Why? What do I accomplish by doing that? Now I'm showing the higher level of Talmud Torah with understanding, with Havanas HaTorah. And he said, if I'm right about this, that this is why Chazal came up with the idea of Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum, I have a new shita about how to fulfill Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. Because, you know, there are different shitos in Siman Reish Pei Hei in Shulchan Aruch about the best way to do Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. Some suggest that the best way to do it is Pasuk Pasuk Targum, Pasuk Pasuk Targum, Pasuk Pasuk Targum. Right? Others say read the entire Parsha again, and then entire Targum. Either go in little bits or go everything, all Targum. Says Rabbi Yaakov, if I'm right, then there's a compromise approach that would be even better than these two. If I'm right, he says, one time you're supposed to dafka read through without Targum, without any Targum, to show that it's Talmud Torah just from the words alone. So what do you do? Just read it through. Read it through quickly once. The second time around, though, you're supposed to demonstrate that there's understanding, that you know what it's talking about. So you're supposed to read with Targum. But it wouldn't make sense the second time around to read the whole Parsha again and then go back and read the whole Targum, because then it doesn't show any understanding when you're reading the Chumash. How do you show understanding reading the Chumash? Pasuk Targum. Pasuk Targum. Pasuk Targum. So he says, L'chora, that's the best way to fulfill Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. One time read through the whole Parsha. That's one level of Talmud Torah. Then the second time, Pasuk by Pasuk, with Targum. Now this idea, he says, also explains why it is that the word mikra seems to mean two different things in two different contexts. Right here on Daf Lamed. Now if I were to ask you, what's included in mikra? Is it only Torah, or is it all of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim? So you look at this Gemara that we were looking at down here, in the second wide line on Lamed of an Aleph, La'olam yishalish adam shnosav. You have to split all of your learning time into three even parts. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. So there are only three subjects in Torah. There is Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. Which means everything you learn is going to have to fit into one of those three categories. And that's why the Rambam says, oh, the inyanim that we call Pardes, Shat Remez, Drash Sod, that fits into Talmud. Halacha is Mishnah, really. Where do you put Nach? Which category? The only three options, either Mikra, Mishnah, or Talmud. Where do you put Nach? Mikra. So the word Mikra in this Gemara means Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuv, all of Tanakh. Yet, earlier on the same page, in Maseches Kiddushin, the Gemara spoke about the obligation to teach one's grandson Torah. The Gemara said, Ad heichon chayev adam lamidus b'no Torah, how far do we go with teaching our sons Torah? Amar v'dam Shmuel kagon zvulun ben don. It should be like Zvulun ben Don, Shalimdo avi aviv, Mikra Mishnah Talmud Alach Svagados. Because his grandfather taught him Mikra Mishnah Talmud Alach Svagados. Aye, but didn't we learn Limdo Mikra and Melamdo Mishnah that you only have to teach your kid Mikra? You don't have to teach him anything beyond that. Va'amar Rav, and Rav said, you know what Mikra means? Mikra Zu! Torah? Says Rashi. What does it mean, Mikra Zu, Torah? Below Nevi'im Uksuv. So on the same page, we have Mikra meaning only Torah, not Nevi'im Uksuv. And then later on, Mikra means Torah, Nevi'im, and Uksuv. So which is it? How can you say Mikra means two totally different things? So says Rabbi Yaakov, I can explain it very beautifully. I can explain it very easily. Rabbi Yaakov argues. How can I explain it easily? What does the word Mikra mean? Kore. Read, call out, or read. It means to read, right? Why would Tanakh be called readings as opposed to Torah Sheval Peh, which is not called a reading? Why would we call Tanakh a reading as opposed to Torah Sheval Peh, which is not a reading? What would you argue? How does one learn Torah Sheval Peh? Okay, so I want you to think back in history a little bit. Before they made Eis Lasos LaHashem, Eifed Rusor Hasecha, they came up with the desperate, you know, Hail Mary of trying to preserve Torah by writing down Torah Sheval Peh. Shouldn't use Hail Mary. The source of that has something to do with Torah. But the something like, you know, it works its way into your language. The Avodah Zarah Mamish makes, wow. How did people learn Torah Sheval Peh? Memory. It was orally transmitted, right? Was it done by reading? No. You know why Tanakh is called Mikra? All of Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim would be called Mikra? Because that's the only part of Torah that you could really read. The rest of it's not written anywhere. You can't read it. I mean, nowadays it is. We have Gemaras and whatever. But it wasn't. So there was no reading it. So Tanakh, all of Tanakh is called Mikra. Okay. Why would Torah be called Mikra in contrast to Nevi'im and Ksuvim being called not as much Mikra? Meaning what Rabbi Yaakov is about to suggest is that Mikra is not a yes or no. There are levels of Mikra. Tanakh is certainly much more Mikra than Torah Sheval Peh, because you don't read Torah Sheval Peh, you read Tanakh. Why would Torah be a higher madrega of Mikra than Nevi'im Ksuvim would be? So one could say, there's a Takana says of Kriyas HaTorah. There's no Kriyas HaNavi or Ksuvim. That's not entirely true, though. There's Kriyas HaMegillah, there's Haftorah. So what is it about Torah? Why would Torah be called more reading than Nevi'im Ksuvim? So says Rabbi Yaakov beautifully. You know why it's called more Mikra? What if you just read and don't understand? What if all you're doing is reading? So if all you're doing is reading and it's Chumash, great, you're doing a mitzvah. The best mitzvah? No, but a mitzvah. But if all you're doing is reading and it's nach, then you're not doing the mitzvah. You're doing nothing. So he says, it's not a stira. What's mikra? Mikra is Tanakh. Mikra is Torah. It's levels of mikra. Tanakh is more mikra than Torah Shebaal Peh is, and Torah is more mikra than Tanakh is. How does he know this? Again, based on this yisod, that reading the words of Chumash itself is a mitzvah. This idea, you know, he tries to figure out what the role of Nevi'im Uksuvim is vis-a-vis Torah. What makes Torah different than Nevi'im Uksuvim? And he suggests that Nevi'im Uksuvim is sort of the messages that you get in Nevi'im Uksuvim all could have been gotten from the Torah if only we knew how. If only we knew how to interpret them. Because the Word of God is complete. The Word of God has everything. The visions of the Navi is the best the Navi can do. Now that's an important idea, that the Nevi'im were not dictated word for word. They were giving their best interpretation of their vision. It's a very important idea to be familiar with, that that's how Nevi'im worked. That explains Rav Shach and Avi Ezri quotes from Rabbi Sholeb Diskin, that explains the Nisayon Ha'akeda. You know, God tells Avram, I want you to slaughter Yitzchak, and Avram listens. Wow, what a Nisayon. So it's a tremendous Nisayon. It's his child, he loved so much. Incha Yechidcha Asher Ahavta. But some of the Acharim, if you could ask such a kasha, ask the following kasha. He's God. If God comes to you and says anything, you do it because he could zap you and you'll be, you know, you don't do it, maybe he'll torture your son until he's gone. Then what? Then it's going to be worse. He's Hashem. If Hashem actually spoke to you, like, who wouldn't listen? You don't have to love the kasha. It's a kasha that some of the Acharon ask. So says Rabbi Sholeb Diskin, the Nisayon was not would he listen when God spoke to him. If you know what Nevuah is, you appreciate the Nisayon. Nevuah is not, you know, Rachel Bitcha Ketana, I'm telling you exactly what you should do. Nevuah is a vision. The Navi then has to interpret that vision. What is that, with his intellectual honesty and with his Ruach HaKodesh, what is Hashem really trying to tell me? And with total unbiased honesty, he has to interpret the vision and see what he's supposed to do with that. The Nisayon was, would Avram Avinu have the honesty, the integrity, to interpret that vision, even though it was so unfavorable for him? You know, he could say, oh, maybe it means that I'm supposed to make my son a party, and it should be, it should be such a festive party like the Purim party in Megillah Dav Zayin, where someone would come, Rabbi Shachte, Rabbi Zeira. That's what it means, I'm supposed to shecht my son, that it should be a festive party. Maybe it means this, maybe it means that. He could have come up with all sorts of explanations. The Nisayon was, would he look at it in an unbiased manner, with purely Shem Shemayim, with ultimate integrity? That's what the Maral Diskin writes. Maral Diskin uses that to explain Bilam also. There was no Navi like Moshe and the Jewish people ever again. Oh, but the Umos Olam got one. They got Bilam. Hi, why would they get Bilam's Nevuah would rival that of Moshe Rabbeinu? Bilam's going to get such clarity in his Nevuah? So Maral Diskin explains, because the normal mechanism of Nevuah is Hashem gives a vision. The Navi takes it through the purity of his neshama, and he looks at that vision through his neshama. If his neshama is clean and clear, he'll see a pretty clear picture. If his neshama is like a little murky, then he's going to have to, like, you know, it's like when the light comes through a clear window like this, so you see it pretty strong. If it's tinted, you see it a little less strong. If it's stained glass, you see it, you know, you could try to figure out what's on the other side, but it's a little more difficult. That's the neshama, that's what we call aspaklaria hami'ira. The Moshe Rabbeinu had this pure clarity, the aspaklaria hami'ira, the Gemara calls it. Whereas all the other Nevi'im have aspaklaria she'ena mi'ira, they're looking through tinted glass a little. if Hashem was to use that mechanism of nevuah for Bilam, he wouldn't see anything. Because if it has to work through the tinted glass of his neshama, it's not just tinted glass, it's black and tarred over and sheetrocked over, and nothing would get through. So the only way for Bilam to receive a nevuah, says Maral Diskin, is for Hashem to go with the Moshe model. Take away the window entirely and just give it to him straight. Here, this is your nevuah. Now, the Gemara Maseches Brachos says that if a person, going back to our topic, if a person fails to say Kriya Shema on time, he can still say it later, and he's lo hifsid kikari betara. You don't lose out. It's as if you were kari betara, as if you you're late, as if you were learning Torah rather. So there is a passage in Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah Maseches Brachos where he says, "What do you mean lo hifsid kikari betara? Of course, isn't that a davar pashut? Okay, I'll tell you a secret. You're allowed to learn Chumash. Thank you. If you read Pesukim and Chumash, you get credit for reading Pesukim and Chumash. What's the Chumash?" So he quotes from Rav Shlomo ben Ahar that generally speaking, there is an Isser. Gemara tells us there is an Isser to say Torah Shebichsav Bal Peh. You're not allowed to say Pesukim by heart. So Shlomo Nahar suggests that there's a major limitation on that issue. That issue of saying Torah Shebichsav Bal Peh is only when the entire reason you would ever read those psukim is to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But if those psukim somehow fulfill another mitzvah, if by reading those psukim you sometimes use those very words to fulfill a different mitzvah, other than Talmud Torah, you're allowed to say those words by heart. For example, in Parshas Naso, we have three consecutive psukim called Birchas Kohanim. So you're learning Chumash, you read those psukim, you get a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right? Or if you're a Kohen, and you're actually being Mevarich Liam, you're not getting a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, what are you doing? The mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. So since you're allowed to say it by heart in the context of Birchas Kohanim, you're always allowed to say those psukim by heart. I didn't violate any Isser just now. You let us say it by heart. Those psukim are excluded from the Isser to say psukim by heart. So he says that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara says if you read Kriya Shema after this man, lo hifsid, you don't lose. Why would you think you lose? Because you're not getting the mitzvah of Kriya Shema anymore, it's after this man. Saying Kriya Shema after this man is like taking a lulav on Chanukah. That was a line of Lichtenstein quoted from Rav Huttner. It's like taking a lulav and Chanukah. You're not getting the mitzvah of lulav anymore. You're not getting the mitzvah of Kriya Shema anymore. It's over. So you might think you lose because you're saying psukim by heart. Now, lo hifsid kadam shikari betar, it's still okay because these are words that fulfill another mitzvah. So says the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, and the same is true for the psukim of Karbanos. Because the psukim of Karbanos are not only a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Gemara in the Sechs Tainus tells us a conversation that took place between Avram Avinu and Kosh Baruch, where Avram says to Hashem, "Bamei Eda Ki Roshana." That's recorded in Chumash. How do I know my children are going to be Yorei Sheretz Yisrael? Hashem says, "Zuchus HaKarbanos." Avram says, "I can see right through that one. There's only going to be Karbanos for like, you know, 1,000 years. What's going to be when there's no Beis Hamikdash, no Mishkan? What's going to be then?" So he says, "Unishalma parms faseinu." Say the karbanos, and that's as if you brought the karbanos. Ooh! So when you say karbanos, you're not only fulfilling Talmud Torah. What else are you fulfilling? You're actually fulfilling the mitzvah of karbanos. Mimela, it would turn out you're allowed to say karbanos by heart. This is the Rabbeinu Yonah of Shachtov. He's close when he says that it's more important to say karbanos than to say pesukei dezimra, because karbanos might be a mitzvah daraisa. When you say karbanos, unishalma parms faseinu, you're being mekayim the mitzvah of karbanos. Whereas Pesukei Zimra is clearly only Drabanan. But why am I mentioning this? Because we were discussing, let's fulfill Shushmit Talmud. How? Tosa says, by all the things that we do before Pesukei Zimra. Parsha Satamid. Right? That's the Mikra part. So the Magen Avraham said, but you better understand it. Because if you don't understand it, then you're not fulfilling Talmud Torah. Well, we have two answers to that. First of all, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetz says maybe you are fulfilling Talmud Torah, even if you don't understand it. The Mishnah and the Talmud part, you're right. But the Mikra part, you might still be fulfilling Talmud Torah, even if you don't understand it. Because it's Chumash. And second of all, it's not a total loss. Because only one of the reasons you're saying that Parsha is for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's another more major reason to say the Parsha Satamid. And that is for the mitzvah of Karban Tamid. And maybe for that you don't need to understand it. Maybe you just need to say the magic words. You just need to say the words that describe, that Hashem chose to describe the Karban. Maybe you can make that argument. Right, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll move on to the next part of the Gemara. The next part of the Gemara is going to discuss how many words and letters and the midway point in the Torah, and whether we are sufficiently expert to really know all the words and letters of the Torah. So God willing, that will be for tomorrow.